She was a business coach, helping empower entrepreneurs for decades. Yet, she found herself unable to empower herself. Her mental and physical health suffered until she discovered her path to her inner truth that shifted her from deep anguish to rebounding stronger and having a whole new belief in herself. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest, Nicole Jansen, gets vulnerable when she reveals her pattern of going back again and again to the man who said he'd change, all the while becoming more and more ill, both mentally and physically. We're going to talk with Nicole Jansen in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. I share these mini masterclasses to show you a path to reclaiming your voice, your value and confidence, to look at yourself in a new, deeper way. And you'll hear more about that from our guest today, where she'll share her amazing, powerful strategies. Listen to them carefully. They are fantastic. Today, I'm covering self-care from the Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. I'll be talking about both mental and physical self-care, what happens when you neglect or ignore the signs, some ways you can help yourself, and the benefits of self-care that are crucial to your overall well-being. I can help you move from having a crushed confidence, feeling not good enough, and confused, to regaining that voice of yours, that sense of self, and owning your true value so that you can show up in this life fully like you want to and that like you deserve to. Get started. Just complete the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz at freedomfulfillmentquiz.com, where you can start your freedom journey to be 100% you. So let's go to self-care. And what is self-care? Well, let me ask you this. Do you have feelings of overwhelm? Do you feel stressed, tired, fatigued? Do you have difficulty making decisions? Maybe you have difficulty coping. You feel burnout. Maybe you have anxiety and depression. Maybe your confidence is just kind of like crushed. You don't have much confidence, not much self-worth. You maybe have difficulty being present with yourself or with others. Or maybe you're just having a difficult time having any kind of good relationship. Those are just a few of the symptoms of not having good mental health. And what does good mental health actually mean? Well, good mental health isn't just about the absence of mental health problems. Being mentally and emotionally healthy is much more than being free of depression, anxiety, or other psychological issues. Rather than thinking the absence of mental illness, mental health really means the presence of positive characteristics. And so we're going to go over that, okay? It does not mean that you'll never have a disappointment or have a bad times or experience emotional problems. This is life. But this is what I was talking about, if you're not able to cope with it. And this is going to help you be able to learn how to cope with all of these and be aware when you start to have physical problems. So what are some of the things, some simple things that you can do? And then I'm going to get into some of the benefits or the outcome of having good mental self-care, good physical care. Because what I have seen and what I've experienced talking to many of my guests is that when you've been in an abusive relationship, it takes 100% a toll, a negative toll on your mental and emotional well-being. And in most cases, on your physical health. And many times the physical element is not correlated to the emotional element. But I want you to be open to that instead of making excuses why you got sick, to realize that it probably was tied to your relationship with your abuser, the one who put you down, the one who wouldn't let you speak, the one who wouldn't let you go where you wanted to go when you wanted to go somewhere. The body can only take so much before it starts to rebel. So whatever it is, even if it was a long time ago, these signs are really important for you to know and to take the steps to healing and not to blame yourself or to judge yourself or criticize yourself. We're all on a journey and you're going to learn things and hear something that you need to hear today. And just be open to that. It's all good. So some of the things you can do, which are maybe you've already heard of, but again, this is a reminder, is doing some meditation or just the deep breathing. There is a biological mechanism that actually happens when you breathe in through your mouth and then exhale really slowly through your mouth. It triggers something biologically that actually calms the nerve physically and helps you relax. And when you do that, then you're able to open up the prefrontal cortex and start to really process and make better decisions. Writing a daily gratitude or success journal is another way, a simple way. And you think, oh, you know, maybe you're not in the mood to feel grateful for anything. You're just in such a state. Maybe you're still in an anger state. And these states come and go too. So don't think that, well, I was doing well today or I was doing well yesterday, but today I'm a mess or something like that. Don't judge yourself. But you can even pull simple things of gratitude, like just looking at the sky and seeing the beauty in the sky or the trees. It doesn't have to be something really big. I mean, you can appreciate, like I've been doing a journal, and you can appreciate just, I don't know, having a washing machine. I think that's pretty cool. So it just takes you off of thinking that there's nothing good in your life and to focus on, oh, well, maybe there is some things that I've never appreciated before because I've been so focused on everything that's gone bad in my life, everything that's wrong in my life. Now you slowly start to shift that focus. And shifting that focus is so key. But as you go through this, and you'll hear this through the interview I have with my guest, Nicole Jansen, is looking really deeply at yourself and asking yourself so many important questions. And that can lead to, you know, how am I talking to myself? Am I talking to myself kindly? Am I being rude to myself? Am I talking all this negative talk? You heard it from somebody else, but are you doing it to yourself now? So these are things I want you to think about. And I have so many more in self-care guidebook I'm going to give to you. So just go to the show notes and go to the podcast link to pick it up there. So there are many, many ways, which you'll see in that guidebook, to self-care. And what happens is when you start to practice this, and again, don't blame yourself. You're not doing it every day. You're doing it sometimes. It's okay. Just start taking the steps to doing it. Start looking at yourself, giving yourself some self-compassion. This is such a huge, huge way to give yourself some self-care and self-kindness. So when you do these things that take care of you, really take care of the inside of you, they take care of your soul, they make you feel loved as if you're taking care of a little version of you or a little girl. How would you talk to her? Would you hold her? Would you console her? Make her feel safe? And when you do, you start to build greater feelings of worthiness and value. You're more flexible to adapt to change and realize you can do it. It may be difficult, but you can still move forward. Your self-confidence starts to build as you begin to know who you are Who am I during this whole process? And then I'm a person who is learning and growing. That's it. We don't have to have these big, massive goals, but just understand that you're on a journey. And as any journey, it's going to be up and down, to know that you're doing just fine. And as you do it, your confidence will build and will build. And the more you do it, the more hope you start to see in yourself. And the more you move forward, the more action you take to move forward instead of keep focusing on the past, what is, what was. And as much as you want to change the past, as you want to, you know, wish he was a better person for you, that he was kinder, that he was supportive, that he was compassionate and empathetic, as much as you want that, you're putting energy into the past that cannot be changed. You're putting energy into somebody who cannot change, who decides not to change. You're not there to change anybody else. You're not there because you can't change anybody else. You are there to focus only on you. And the more you heal yourself, the more you take care of yourself, the more you can show up fully in this world. And when you do, the world will be looking and they're going to say, wow, you've come a long way. I'm here for you. And more people will be coming out to support you. You're not alone on this journey. And that's what's really important. Even though it's a journey, you're not alone. I'm here for you. And there are others that are here for you. Reach out to us. Reach out and not think you can do this alone, or that you have to do this alone, that you should be able to do this alone. That's the negative self-talk that I was talking about earlier, right? Rather, you can simply change your thought and say, I'm learning, I'm asking for help, and I'm moving forward the best I can. When you, and of course, the physical aspect, there are many illnesses. I want you to just pay attention to that. Where have you been ill? Maybe you have a cough. Maybe you have, your hair was falling out. Maybe it got limp. Maybe you had a hysterectomy. Maybe you had breast cancer. Maybe you had a thyroid problem. You know, maybe you just haven't connected the dots. And the more you heal your inner self, the faster you will heal physically too. When you heal yourself emotionally and mentally, your whole body changes and you end up with having more energy and vitality. Your pain starts to go away. I was working with a client and she had a bad headache and a bad neck ache and everything else. And by the time we were done, she says, oh, it's all gone. Oh, you must be a chiropractor too. You know, we weren't even in the same room. It was pretty funny. But that's what happens, because it was all of her emotional anguish that was dragging her down and causing her physical pain. And of course, when you do these exercises to help you get better emotionally and physically, even by a walk, it creates a hormone called dopamine. And we'll just call that the happy hormone, the happy hormone. And the more you do that thing, the more the happy hormone will start to be produced to offset the hormones that are bringing you down. Those get produced as well. So we have to outdo the bad hormones that are getting generated by your anguish, that your negative thoughts, you're insulting yourself, you're judging yourself. Why can't I do better? Why did I stay in that relationship so long? Why this? Why that? Forget the why questions. You're here and you're here now. So all of these give you the chance to, when you do healthy self-care, good self-care, you have more successes. You feel more hopeful. You create a foundation for a longer and healthier life. You create the foundation for creating healthy relationships. You create the foundation for creating and having a healthy, intimate relationship. So no, self-care is not selfish. Self-care is critical to your overall well-being. You deserve to be treated with kindness. And that starts, my friend, by being kind to yourself. So what self-care will you do for yourself today? besides listening to this podcast. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Nicole Jansen, host of the Leaders of Transformation podcast and empowering entrepreneurs for 30 years. She'll tell you her unique way of digging deep, not always easy, but digging deep so that you can know yourself better, believe in yourself, and can emerge both mentally and physically healthier. Nicole Jansen will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. Produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to Nicole Jansen, empowering business coach. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Nicole Jansen. Welcome, Nicole. I am so glad. It's been a long time. We met each other at an event and then we kept in contact, and now you're here on the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. I am really thrilled.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, Rosie.
Well, I want to let our listener know really how spectacular you are. You have been empowering entrepreneurs for over 30 years. When I read that, I have to be honest, it's like, what was she, 10? You know, it's like 30 years just cannot be possible. Her vast experience in business, leadership, and human behavior, along with overcoming adversity in her own life, has uniquely equipped her to bring out the best in others. I will say that. I have firsthand experience on that. She's the founder of Discover the Edge and the Leaders of Transformation podcast, reaching listeners in over 140 countries. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. And yes, I wasn't 10, but I was close. I started my first business when I was 16 years old. I'm now 48. But I was actually helping my parents in their business when I was even younger than that. Yeah. So I've just been knee deep in that for a very long time. So that's not an exaggeration. No.
I was close. Yeah, I can tell. Well, good for you. So tell us, you know, this podcast is about women who've experienced some kind of, let's say, toxic or unfavorable relationship. And then, you know, and then how you got through it and, you know, what you're doing to make yourself, you know, make your life better today. So to give the listener a little bit of an idea, tell us about what your experience was and how long was it? How long were you in the relationship before you even knew it wasn't a healthy relationship?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of them actually. It's kind of built up. You know, sometimes you have a little something going on, it's not working, and then you go on to the next one, and then you're like, oh wow, this is really not working. So when I was younger, I had different relationships, boyfriend girlfriend relationships that were not overly healthy, but they did set a framework for me in terms of what relationships were like. Being in a relationship, what was it like? And the one that really stood out for me was with my now ex-husband, and we were married for almost 8 years. And that all happened over the last 10 years. And in terms of like, when did I know that it was starting to go, you know, and that it was toxic, was kind of like in the process. It's kind of like right in the middle of it where I was just all of a sudden I was, I'll give you a little context. So we got married, everything's wonderful. Oh my gosh, I married the love of my life. It's going to be amazing. I moved down to, actually he came to Canada first because I'm originally from Canada. Well, after I got here, there was some red flags there that showed up, some pretty big red flags. But anyway, so I get down to California And he was already second guessing whether or not what he, you know, that he wanted to be in a relationship and specifically with me. And so that was where it started to hit my confidence. It really impacted how I felt about me, because I took it personally. I took it as though it was something that I was doing wrong.
Of course. And yes. Mm-hmm. Were you married at this time or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
You're married. Okay. So
yes.
You come down and he's already, you've just, you know, relatively arrived. And then now he's doubting whether this is the right move. You took it personally. It's like, okay, got it.
Yes. Yes. So I took it personally, but then I was like, oh, you know what? I didn't see it as an abusive relationship at that point. You know, but I was like, I really need to work on this. You know, there's some things that I'm the coach, right? So I'm like always working on myself and so forth. So I did that for a while, and I found myself getting more and more confused about who I was. I hired coaches even that were saying, mm-hmm. well, you know, you need to be more feminine. You need to be this, you need to do that. And then I was getting further and further away from who I actually was. Mm-hmm. And so it was this spiral downward. And the more that I did that, of course, the more disconnect we had between us. And I remember at one time he said, you've really lost your edge, which is a play on words, because of course my company is Discover the Edge. He's like, you really lost your edge. I'm like, well, you know, I really felt that I was losing, you know, a grasp on who I was and what I was, like everything about my identity, even my business and all of that and the confidence in that. And so, but it was, again, I was thinking, I was working on myself, you know, I need to sort this out, knowing that he has some things to deal with, but I was really taking it on for myself. And after a while of doing a lot of inner work, and we can unpack that a little bit further in terms of what I did, I got to the point where I realized, okay, so you know what? I played a part in this, but this is not just me. And I realized that it was some of the stuff that was going on that he was saying wasn't just feedback, that it was abusive.
But how did you know that? How were you able to come to the point where, you know, because you've done so much inner work, and was it just a realization? Did you read something? Did you talk to people to say, hey, this is beyond just me? Because this is, you know, women, that's the first thing they do. It's like they take the blame, they take the full responsibility, because the way they word it is like, well, you know, you just fix yourself kind of attitude, right? And because we want to make things work, we do that work, and then we do it and we do it and it doesn't work. That was my experience. So I'm just curious, how did you know, oh, it's abusive? For me, I had to read a book.
Yeah, for me, it was the compounding effect of all the work that I was doing, because the reason why I think it hit me so personally, even though I had done all of this personal development work, was because what he was hitting on through his actions, through his words, was the fear that I had, which was I was not enough, not good enough, not pretty enough, not worthy of love, ultimately. And that's why I say the context for that was partially set up with earlier relationships. It didn't start here. It was the buildup of other relationships, not feeling like, you know, that I was lovable, right? That I was enough. Mm-hmm. And then with this, so I was just working on this, and I got to the point through, yes, reading a lot of books, doing a lot of soul searching, doing a lot of praying and talking with people. And my mom, who was alive at that time, was a great support and encouragement for me, and a few key friends. So I didn't talk to a lot of people about it. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
To, you know, you don't just share it with everybody, because not everybody has the tools and or the healthy perspective to be able to offer unbiased, loving advice. I mean, we're all biased ultimately, but that loving advice that we need, the truth, but the truth with grace, and that they're not filtering it through their own stuff. Like, oh yeah, he's a jerk. And you know, and going that route, because that wouldn't help.
No, that's a really good point. It's just so easy. I'll just talk to my friend, and then they're just giving them their own personal advice and personal opinion. But it doesn't mean it's the right opinion or the right way to lead that person.
Oh, they're filtering it through their own experience.
They're filtering it through. It's like, oh, you just need to communicate with him better. So it's still every time, at least for me, it was always, oh, you need to do this better. They never, the quote unquote friends never looked at him as a problem.
That's interesting, because I had some friends of mine who were like, he's a jerk. you know, he doesn't deserve you, all of that. And while that was meant to serve me and to acknowledge me, but what it was actually, it wasn't helping me because it wasn't offering a solution. It was offering opinions about what they thought he was. He's a this, he's a that, men are like this.
You don't want to hear that.
And that's not helpful. That's not solution oriented. And so when I kept doing, there's a number of books on that shelf and other books, you know, I often recycle my books, otherwise I have a whole library room full of books. But going through and looking at books that really dealt with from a soul, like soul searching, and looking at scripture and saying, what does God say about me? And so I really dug into that, prayed a lot, spent a lot of time at the beach, you know, just clearing my mind, getting into that place of not so that I was in upset, right? Because in upset, you don't make quality decisions when you're in high emotion. Is to get to that place of peace and going, okay, God, what do I do in this situation? And what do I need to learn and so forth? And so there came a point where I realized that I had done a lot of inner work and that, you know what? I was kind of okay with myself, you know? And I realized at that point, it was like this revelation to go, you know what? There's a point where I need to take some ownership. So I looked at what I was doing and then I looked at what he was saying. And all of a sudden I realized, this has actually nothing to do with me. Now, once I got past it was personal, right? Once I got past that and had some healing, then I was able to look at him and say, you know, what he's saying is actually very toxic, is very abusive. I did have somebody who, shout out to Vivian. Vivian did some Castillo. I think she goes by De Guzman now. She did some energy healing work on me so that I could see clearly. Mm-hmm. Right? What was actually happening? And so as I started to listen, once I got past the personal offense and I'm thinking, that's not okay. You know what? Like, that's not helpful. You're starting to hurt me. And he was, you know, rejecting me. And he was like, I don't love you. I don't. And I'm being very like, I mean, he was never one to yell at me. He was never physically abusive to me, but he was emotionally abusive, right? In the sense that it was just like, it was hurtful. And what I realized in that point, in that moment, is that this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with his own pain. Hurting people hurt people.
Right.
That doesn't make it okay.
That's right. Right.
But hurting people hurt people. And I started to realize, oh my gosh, he is so hurting. He is so void of love. How can he possibly show kindness when he's devoid of love? Which is what kindness stems from. And so I started to realize that. And I'm like, well, okay, so how can I help him? So we went through that process. How can I help him? He didn't want any help. I was like, how can I be a good wife? How can I be a good support to him and do all of those
things? I'm gonna coach him through this.
I'm gonna support him. And I believe in those seeds actually were fruitful and they spoke life into him. And there is a place for that. But ultimately, they need to water it. They need to receive it. He ended up leaving. He ended up going through a series of relationships while we were still married, going through, and I saw it on Facebook. Yay for Facebook. Thank you very much. And then there was a point where I said, like, God, you know, what do I do with this? And he was like, love your husband. That directive was not to restore and reconcile a relationship. It was to heal my heart. He chooses to be with somebody else. That's fine. I can still love him. And at that point, I knew I was free. So, the second part of this, the part two of this story, is that a few months later, I was moving out of the place that we had lived. And so I said, I respect your decision, but if you want to get divorced, let's probably just get divorced and get it done. And if that's, you know, because you're already living with somebody else, we go to the courthouse because I'm like, let's do it. If we're going to do it, let's go to the courthouse. Take action. Let's get it done, right? Accelerate the process. So I meet him there. It's the first time I'd seen him in 2.5 years. And he said, I hope, he gave me a big hug and I was really surprised about that. And he said, I hope you can forgive me one day. And I said, I've already forgiven you. In fact, I want to thank you for not because you meant it that way, but God was able to use and turn what became a blessing. I learned things about myself and I got to see things and to grow in a way that I would never have otherwise. So thank you. And it got him thinking. It blew his mind that I could love him and have forgiven him already when he could barely forgive himself for it.
Yeah.
After several months of talking, and he was like, you are the person that I want to be with. And I was like, tell me more about that. Tell me about the process you went through. Like, I didn't just jump into that. I was like, tell me about how you came to this revelation. Okay. So, but after several months, I said, you know what? I think he's actually, we didn't finalize the divorce. Paperwork was submitted, but that left it there. And so he said, I want to come back. Would you take me back? And so we finally agreed to do that. And it was amazing. I have to tell you, it was amazing. It was wonderful until it wasn't. And about 10 months in, my mother passed away suddenly. And suddenly I had to fly to Toronto. I was gone for 3 weeks. And I had those old feelings like something was happening, because he would lie and cheat and lie about cheat, you know, but lie you about felt cheating.
Something inside.
I knew something was up, and I didn't know if it was my emotions. And so everything okay, everything's fine. I come back. I'm back for a couple of days, and it just kept nagging at me. I knew something was off. And so finally, it came to be that I found out that he had been texting somebody and actually went to see somebody and had been fooling around while I was away. And I was like, I absolutely love you, but this doesn't work for me. We end up getting divorced 2 months later. And hopefully this is helpful to your listeners to kind of unpack this, but there's a lot of lessons that I got out of it. And there's boundaries and all sorts of different things. This isn't just, I had a bad time, you know, I was confused and now I'm clear.
This is after your divorce, you're offering this to him?
We're not divorced yet. The paperwork's still out there.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go make this choice. And so I've had friends who say, have you kept in touch with him? You know, do you talk to him? And I'm like, no, I don't. I still send him love. But you know what? That's not an unhealthy relationship. I'm not going to watch him self-sabotage and self-destruct, because it's not just in our relationship, it impacted other things as well.
Well, you know, what's really good about this, because, you know, everyone's relationship is different, and for them to hear, because sometimes they go, oh, well, I went back, and then they start blaming themselves, and you came from such a evolved level, I think, because of the work, you know, the empowering work that you've been doing with your clients for years, for sure, you know, I think it helped you. And for women to get that perspective that, you know, you did the inner work, you did, and of course, it's not one time thing. It's ongoing. It's several ways. You know, you started out with, or at least you said the moment is like when you were at the beach, you're trying to get, you know, into yourself, not all this outside noise. You did some clearing with an energy healer. You know, you talked to people, you read. So there was lots of things that you did. And you had this, to me, this open heart, which I think shows a lot of who you are. And you didn't have this blame and resentment. And there's a lot of negativity that women can go into, which, again, there's no judgment here. It's pretty common. I mean, I went through it. Actually for a while, until I went through the learning steps and healing. Of course, we realized it's not a place to be for your own self. And so I really appreciate that, because it was really full of where women can say, yeah, I did this. Oh, I'm doing this. And not to put blame, but to say, this is a step I took. And you went back, and it's like, yeah, we went back together based on these assumptions, these values that are important to me.
Yeah, knowing full well that I was taking a risk, and I set it up front with boundaries.
Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life, and I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Nicole Jansen, Empowering Business Coach.
And so there is a point, though, that's where the boundary comes in. You don't go in. So some women do blame themselves. They go, as I went back, but they go back. They go back because they feel the need, the pull back. For me, I went in and was like, I would love it to be this way. And let's see. And that's why I kept checking in with him and so forth.
Right. And I think a lot of women go back because there is, I mean, there's literally the trauma bonding that yes. happens. And so there's like, and there's just this, there's that dream, that hope, you know, the hope that like, it's going to work this time.
Yes.
And I think you are a great example. It doesn't work if both of you haven't moved up and healed. You
know, yes.
You did a lot of healing, a lot of inner work, and he chose not to. And it's not our job to heal them. Not only is it not our job, we can't heal somebody else.
And I can't judge it either because it's his life.
Right. But we can just say that's not my choice of how I want to be treated in this world today.
That's right. That doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me to be in a relationship like that. So I get you. You're going to make your choices and I'm going to make mine.
Well, I'm really glad that you came out with such strength.
But let me tell you, in the midst of it, the first round, I mean, it was rough. Like there were days I was like, I did not want to live. I remember saying to my mom very distinctly, I mean, it really hit me hard. I mean, I'm kind of saying it like, it hit me hard. No, it really hit me hard. Because I've done the healing, it doesn't hurt as, you know, when I speak about it, I don't have that mm-hmm. agony anymore. But when I was there, I mean, it was, I remember talking to my mother and saying, I feel like I'm playing a game of life that I can't win. And I don't want to play game. I don't like playing games that I can't win. And I just literally was ready to like, just throw in the towel. I'm like, God, I don't want to be here. I don't want to live this way. I don't want
that hopelessness. Any of it.
There's the hopelessness and there's the, you know, the emptiness mm-hmm. that came with it. Just feeling very empty, questioning everything. I questioned me. I questioned God. I questioned others. Who could I trust? All of it came into question. And so it wasn't like, oh yeah, I just read a couple of books and I felt, you know, feel better. It really was the dark night of the soul. It really was that. And I don't want to discount that because there is that valley that we go into, that pit that we get into a lot of times.
Very much so.
But the good news is you can, there is a way out of it. And what I kept, and my mom was, and some people have a mom, you know, somebody that can support them. Some people don't. That's why when I say, you know, I talk about God, is that what I realized, because both my parents have passed over the last couple of years too. So all of this has happened and it's just like, and I'm losing, and my dad dies. And I'm like, seriously, right? Like how many other things can I take, right? And I know you want to talk a little bit about health and so forth, how it impacts and it's like all of these things are happening and I'm just feeling like Job in the Bible where it's just all happening at once and feeling forsaken. And so for me though, what I got to that point in questioning, and I don't think that God really, some people are afraid to question. They feel like we shouldn't question. I think God opens us and allows us, God, universe, whatever, you know, but to me it is God, my creator, that isn't upset about those questions, actually welcomes those questions because those questions lead to answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of that, what I realized is that I was not alone, that my husband was not my source. Even my parents were not my source. My friends were not my source. You know, the source of my strength, the source of my hope, of my love is God is, I believe God is love, right? So where that comes from, he's the source. And so therefore, that's where I got to that point of being whole and complete, where I didn't feel like I was enough. I was enough because I was created enough. A baby is born valuable and worthy of love simply because they are.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. And you know, and just like in your whole journey, it's like coming to really owning your own truth, right? Getting to know who you are. So can you speak to that? How did you come to like, this is my truth? This is,
yes.
And because it's so easy, because remember you go through that confusion, the doubt. So how did you get from the confusion and the doubt to this is me. This is my own truth. I know my own truth, which so many women just can't everyone else has defined them.
That's it.
And they've sucked into it, right? They've sucked into it. Everyone else's definition.
And that's why going to the beach or getting away, getting quiet, turn off social media. Maybe you need to check it because of business or whatever, and you've got to, you know, or your friends or family, or you want to keep in touch. But turn off all the noise, turn off all the opinions, and get quiet. And that's why, you know, it's like most people, even if they don't believe in God, they believe in something greater than themselves, some higher power, is checking in with that. And it's a love energy. It is a love energy. So if it's a dark energy, don't check in with that one. We don't want to go there, okay? Because the darkness does come, right? And tells you you're not enough and that this will never work and you'll never be whatever.
Right. No one will ever love you. No one will ever want you.
All of that crap. Yeah, which I don't even want to verbalize because I don't even want to like put it out there because our words create our world. Environment is important. So it's not just being in a void because nature abhors a vacuum. So if you're in a void and you're just isolating, I'm not talking about isolation. I'm talking about turning out the opinions and noise. People say, they're going to say things to you anyway. You're going to hear things anyway.
Right.
But I'm like, thank you for sharing. And I filter it through what does love or I call it God. What does God say about that? And so in the process of me filtering, I'm filtering and I'm basically cleansing all the messages that are coming through. And then I know what to hold on to and what to release. Okay. So when I'm creating that environment of peace, I'm calling in peace. I'm calling in love. I'm calling in joy. I'm calling in the goodness.
Like adding that little bit of fertilizer. Every time you get in these really positive, healthy, supportive environments, it's like, okay, you know, and you feel you can then get really even know yourself even better. It's like, okay, this is what life is. It's peace, love, joy, kindness, that if you are with other people who are putting you down or talking negativity, it's sucking your energy out. And those relationships suck your energy out. And I don't think a lot of people, you're very in tune with your body, which I'm really so glad that you keep talking about that because it's such a key for women to hear, to really tap into, listen to yourself. And you do have that. Listen to what is your body saying to you? Because your body's knowing if it feels good or not, if it feels safe or not, if it's right or not. We have, again, getting back to the confusion and the doubt, your body felt it for sure. Your body felt it.
Totally. And that's where it does impact our health.
Yeah, what happened, you know, a lot of women I've talked to have had it. So you want to share some?
It just violated my core values and I was so upset. And I had these lumps that developed like over the following week. And it literally started to swell And so we all have a weakness, our body. We have like this weak point. For some people, it's their liver. Some people, it's their lungs. Some people, whatever it is, right? We all have that weak point. So for me, my lymph, which impacts my skin and all that kind of stuff, that comes from the digestive system. It was the weak point. So it started to swell and like literally.
And your neck.
I had golf ball size like glands on the side of my neck. So I finally went into a naturopathic expert in that area. And I walked in and I said, what the heck? And he looks at me and he's like, I didn't even stretch my neck. He looks at me, so you have golf balls on the side of your neck. And I went, yeah. Can you tell me what that is and how do we deal with that? 2 minutes later, he says, he does his testing or whatever. And he says, you have mono. So that was the first.
Oh, yeah, mono?
I have mono. And so
I've never heard that as a symptom of mono before.
It's your lymph glands. Mono
yeah,
is
I didn't know it was swollen that much. Yeah.
Yeah. I had mono in a previous, I had one in my 20s around another unhealthy, one of the other relationships I was telling you about.
Okay.
Mono back then. Very severe mono. That was actually, there was a business relationship that was very toxic. I also had a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship that was also toxic at the same time. And so I got mono then. So this was, that oh, was so like,
that is full, your pattern, right?
Mm-hmm. That was full blown. I had full blown mono there where I was supposed to like be laid out for 6 months laying on a couch, and so this time it was like, what the heck? And so he was able to deal with it. I by the grace of God, every time there's something goes on the inside, like I, you know, it shows up in my skin. At one point after he left, I had strep throat from the strep throat. I went into, again, swollen, all that stuff too, again, coughing. And then I went into hives. So I had hives on 80% of my body.
Oh my gosh.
For weeks.
So miserable. Oh my.
It's like, imagine somebody pricking you with pins over 80%, 90% of your body, 24/7, everywhere, finding the right people to help me through that. And recognizing that this was not just a thing that needed to be dealt with on its own. I believe that Western medicine is there for a purpose. However, I looked at it and said, Nicole, you got to work this out. Then I got to this point where I was like, there's nothing else I can do. And the doctors are like, well, you need shots, you need this, you need that. And, you know, we can help you if you end up with cancer and all that kind of stuff, we'll help you then. And I'm like, I don't want to get there. Like, that's the path that I'm on. I see the symptoms and I know that's the path that I remember sitting in the doctor and saying, look, at this point, based on all of this, you know, the symptoms that I'm having and all the things that I'm reading, because I took my health, just like I took my life and my relationship, I took the ownership of it. Like, it's in my control. Nobody else is going to fix it for me. I need to be responsible for fixing myself. I can't change anyone else, but I can work on myself. And so I was like, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm figuring out all these different things, going and seeing all these health practitioners and stuff. And I'm like, look, I'm going to end up with either cancer of the colon, thyroid cancer. My colon was messed up. Digestive system was largely not functioning. My thyroid was out of whack. My pancreas was completely out of whack. They couldn't even bring it down. There was no homeopathics. There was nothing that could do it. And lymphoma, right? With the lymph glands were just like solid and clogged and everything. Just systemic toxification. And so I realized, I'm like, okay, I'm doing all these things to work out, you know, work on that. But it came down to what is causing this. And that's where I was like, I've done all the physical stuff. Now I got to deal with the emotional, the hurt and the betrayal and the toxicity, the negativity that I'd been carrying around from those relationships.
Yes.
I definitely, had I not had the right people that I went to, and I did go through a number of people and just kept looking for the right answer. The doctor said to me, well, we'll give you drugs. We'll give you this. I'm like, wrong answer. Right. So I kept going to people that would look at the root cause. And then they didn't have the answer. So they would send me to the next person, the next person, the next person. I just kept searching. So I'm like, this is not the vision that I have for myself to die by the time I'm 35. So that's not my vision. Is I'm going to live to 100 and I'm going to be healthy and vibrant. Right.
I'm with you, girl.
Yeah. So what do we need to do to sort this out so that we can get there?
Yeah.
And the other thing I did with that is I did not make it my identity. I didn't name it. People used to ask me, what do you have? I don't know. I just don't want it. That's what I know. I don't have a name for it. I didn't say I'm not a celiac. I'm not this. I did not use an I am around it. It just was like, I am well, I am healthy, I am vibrant. And that's how I see myself. And so that helped me, because then the next round with all of this, I was able to quickly combat it because I knew that I had to deal with it on an emotional level, which I think very few people recognize. And so they go down this path so far that then they have to have surgery and they have to have all these other things happen because they let it go so far.
Exactly. And I think women don't, and I'm so glad you kind of went through the different variations and how it manifests and everything else. Because I think women are not putting together, you know, what is happening to them emotionally, being in these toxic relationships, not being able to express yourself, trying to be somebody who you're really not because you want to, because of other, you know, the circumstances in which you are, and just thinking, oh, this illness is something else. It's just something else I have, not putting that together. And I'm really passionate about women waking up and saying, look at your life, listen to these stories, and realize that that's going to get better when one, like you, like me, you are determined to find the answer. And two, you know, you have to do the self-healing. And sometimes it's realizing that that relationship you were in, or the relationship that you were in but aren't in anymore, has been the source. And now you have to clean all that stuff up. We're going to have to probably wrap up here in just a minute or so. And I want people, before we do that, to find out, you know, more, you know, how they can find out more about you and if you have a gift to share so they can, you know, grab that and get to know you and your work better.
Sure. So I created a designated page for your listeners. So it's discovertheedge.com/loveiskind. And there's a few resources there. There's a 30-day guide to 7 keys to maximizing your potential, because a lot of times when I'm working with clients, I coach entrepreneurs. And a lot of times, even though I'm doing business coaching, we're working on this. Yes. Just like you said, if there's something not working over here, we can pretty much guarantee it's not working over here, you know, in the personal as well. And so we're dealing with the underlying emotions. We're dealing with trauma. We're dealing with abuse, things that have created our identity, right? And our beliefs about ourselves, because our beliefs drive our mindset. Mindset drives our actions, and actions ultimately determine our results. And so, yeah, so there's the 30-day guide. It's 7 keys to maximize your potential. There's also a link to my book, which is The Power Up Superwomen, which I wrote a chapter in that book, just one chapter. And there's a bunch of other women who talk about overcoming and their stories of empowerment. And then there's a link there that if someone wants to schedule a discovery session with me, a 30-minute session where we can talk through what they're going through and give them some recommendations where I would start. I'm very good at pinpointing, you know, okay, so all of this is going on. So based on that, this is what I would recommend as the next step in helping people to move forward quickly. So, yeah.
Now, that's fabulous. Well, all of those links will be in the show notes. They'll be able to get that, and also in the PDF download of the whole transcript. Well, thank you so much. I just love the...
This little guy here, by the way.
Handsome guy here. She's holding a beautiful cat.
Yes. So this little guy, I got him in the midst of all this. And so what can you do, ladies? You might want to go get yourself a pet if you don't have one, and get a cuddle bug who will bring you love that is unconditional. And so he has been such a blessing to me, and he sleeps with me, and he's like, as you can see, he's a magnet here for those of you that are watching. And so, you know what, that's something else. It's just sometimes rather than going to find love in bars or wherever that, you know, oftentimes people go to, or Tinder or whatever the heck, you know, different platforms, is sometimes, you know, just having a pure love, a kind love, yes, right, that comes from an animal that can be very, very healing.
Definitely very healing. Well, speaking of kind love, what does love is kind mean to you, Nicole?
Yeah, to me, love is... kind means that is just very, just like that. Love is kind. Love is pure. It's true. It's not necessarily, there's a difference. Sometimes we think about love is that I'm just going to accept anything that somebody brings my way. Mm-hmm. Love is kind means being kind to others. Like, hopefully I've explained that's even with my ex now.
Yes.
But it's also being kind to me.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So it's not an either or, it's an and. Mm-hmm. And when we're kind, mm-hmm, and we can be kind to ourselves, and we can fill up our own emotional tanks, if you will, our emotional bank accounts, as I sometimes describe it as, then we have more love to give. And love that is not kind is not love at all.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. And I appreciate that, your definition. I love hearing the different definitions of how people interpret that. And that's right. So real love is kind. And thank you for being vulnerable and showing everybody how you became valuable in your life. Thank you so much, Nicole. It's been a fabulous time.
Thank you, Rosie. I appreciate all you're doing and helping to encourage women to recognize how valuable they are. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.